about your bed.
Good morning, good morning.
Don't be asleep, shit.
Good morning, good morning.
Hey, I'm Art.
And this is Connie, and this is the Get Up Team podcast.
We got Sunny with us, Sunny T. Connor. I know how this game works, Sunny. This is where you writers have these fancy names, and you put out your fancy names, and then it's like you got some secret names, and not just the pro of you all is like, oh, Sunny T. Connor. Yeah, get to know her, y'all, because she writes books for your ass. She is amazing. She has several books out there under the Sunny T. Connor name. We've got Damien's Secret. We've got Damien's Secret Part 2. We've got Damaged Little Girl. We've got a Damaged Woman. I mean, she's got books. And she came to hang with the Get Up Team today to talk about her life, how she got the gumption to get it done, to get up and get going, to go out and get hers. And we can't tell her thank you enough. But Sunny, can you tell people how you doing today and, you know, what you got going over there?
First, I'm so excited to be with the wonderful Connie and Art. Like, as you're grateful for me, I'm grateful for you guys. Like, we're about to have so much magical energy, and I'm just about to leave you guys with all these stones and things you can reflect on. So I'm I just want to start by saying I'm so grateful that you both had me on the Get Up Team. Like, your podcast is amazing.
Thank you.
I love your content. I love that I'm here with you both.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. So thank you so much.
Yes.
So first of all,
okay,
what we have going here in this Google era is people that know how to play Google right and people that just have their stuff out there all willy-nilly. I can tell from us that we are people that have controlled information out there. So when I look up Sunny T. Connor, I get books, motivational speaking, books, author, motivational speaking. But on our discovery call, we found out so many other nooks and crannies. So we want to jump right into the matrix and find out more than I can get from Google, more than we can ever Google search on you. We want to get the story behind you as far as what led you to being who you are today. So if you could just start at the beginning, like where you're from, how you came up, those hard times that you talk about, and how you got to this point where you are now, that'd be great.
First of all, I love the Matrix. That's where I'm at. I don't know where most people are, but I'm in the Matrix. I'm with the universe. I'm tapped in, turned on, turned off, like Abraham Hicks say, or something like that. But I love this space that I'm in. And to start from the beginning, I had one of the most harsh beginnings. Life was not on my side, which is what I perceived at the time. What I know now is I was going through these challenges to become who I am now. I was not able to tune in to know that at the time, it just seemed like I was on this path of constant negativity, constant, very destructive things happening around me, a lot of death. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. So I grew up in the inner city, and murder is like home. It's so profound. It's so part of your reality. Like, you're not going to grow up in that city and never, ever encounter someone close to you or a friend or family that don't get murdered on those streets. So it's such a huge reality that I was always looking for what's on the other side of the wall. That's what I called it. I called it the wall because at night I would be in the projects. Now, picture this. I'm from the projects. Picture how weird this may be. It's nighttime and everyone is like, yeah, we about to do this and do that and showing off and running through the courts. And I'm like looking up at the sky like, do you guys see the moon? Like, do you see that it's a full moon tonight? And they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that was my childhood. I was always searching for something more. I was always obsessed with nature. When the fall came and all the leaves fell on the ground, I would like jump in a pile of leaves, and all my friends would look at me like, you're really like fucking weird. Like, you're about to go around here and beat this bitch up and you're jumping in the leaves.
You looking all kind of weirdo right now.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, let me roll around a little bit first. Like, so that was me. I was always looking for an out. I do know that there are so many people that's living in poverty, living in struggle, living in this bubble of a reality, and they really believe in their mind that that's all it is to life. And what I want to give people is, I want to pop the bubble. Like, I want to get people out of that bubble. And the only way to get out of the bubble initially is to change your mindset. Because what you think is what you are, is what you create, is what attracts to you. So it's like life is like a magnet. And if you are positive and you are, you know, searching for money and you are on this vibration, then life will match that and bring that to you. And I want people to know that. I want people from my areas, you know, where I grew up at, to know that. I want people that's struggling, that's in poverty and bad marriages. And, you know, I want everyone to know that your past is just a story. Mm-hmm. It is not what defines you, because we are evolving as humans all the time. I'm not even the girl I was yesterday. I'm not even the girl I was last week. Last week, I was crying and falling all over the place. You know, I was going through some emotions about some stuff. And I mean, I'm not even her. I have evolved to a newer version of me in 7 days. And that's what life is. It's a journey to fulfillment. And it's not to carry the baggage along with you. It's to know it happened, accept it happened, learn from whatever happened, and kind of leave that memory in that space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, here it goes. Like, that, you're tapping into the whole other level of where we're going to go. So we're going to go. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, Connie.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, sometimes people get caught up in that, and they have this film in front of them of all the stuff that happened to them before, and they're moving through life with that in front of them. And they're looking at life through this filter of all the stuff that happened to them. And sometimes you got to leave that behind. And I always think of that as like, oh, you got to live in your innocent moment. Like, you need to reclaim that moment where you were innocent and try to live with that as who you are.
Yes.
Because we're going to the answers, but what we got to do, Sunny, because you talk about that wall, you talk about looking at the moon, you talk about rolling in the leaves. There is a catalyst moment that happens to most of us. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay.
Grimy.
Mm-hmm. Grimy. I'm
from the Bay Area, Oaktown, you know, grimy, mm-hmm. you know? So we all come from a little bit of the same understanding of what the block is like. We understand mm-hmm. what it's like to be in different situations. I'm not going to say I was in the most grimiest of the grimy, but I was in the grimy.
you was on the level of the grime, okay?
And the only reason I say that is because my parents, I was lucky enough to have my parents give a damn about what I was doing, give a damn about me getting my school up, give a damn about my extracurriculars. It didn't mean that we wasn't in the project. It just meant that they had expectations for me. But I know a lot of us don't have that. So when you talk mm-hmm. about your story, what was the catalyst for that pivot? Because you just can't keep your head in the clouds and you just can't keep rolling in the leaves. You got to get out. Oh. As a child, when did that moment happen? Did you get a mentor? Did someone pay attention? Did they see you looking in the clouds? Did they see something in you? When was that moment?
Oh, wow. So I had a few people that saw something special in me along the way. And even though it was so many negative things being said, those positive things aligned with me, with my inner being. Not the me that was my environment me, because I was adapting to the environment as well. So if it was hood, I was adapting to the environment as well, because the guidance wasn't there for me to be in the house studying at 7 p.m. You know what I mean? So, but there were people that would say, you're brilliant. Like, you're really freaking amazing. And I would turn in papers at school. I remember I had one teacher that told me, your ability to tell a story is phenomenal. What are you doing? They wanted to sign me up for like the Martin Luther King. I have a speech, you know, I have a dream, me rewriting it for me having a dream, you know? And he wanted to put me in like all these literature things. And he was like, you're underestimating yourself. Like, you're amazing. And along the way, I had those little angels is what I call them, that was kind of whispering in my ear, like, you're more than this. You're better than this. You feel uncomfortable being broke because you're not supposed to be broke. It was like, I got these little whispers. Sometimes it came from people. Sometimes it was a feeling that came from within me. If I couldn't afford to buy something, it was this really loud but soft voice in my mind that would say, you're not supposed to be broke. You're not supposed to not, there's a whole bunch of money here. Why don't you have any of it, right? But let's cut the bull crap, because most people, when they listen to something, they want something that they can use. Don't give me airy fairy. Right. You was looking at moons and rolling around and leaves. Give me something I can use, right?
Yes.
And that's what I'm about to give you. So yeah. Number one, you have to read. You have to read books. You have to find some literature. I mean, nowadays you can listen to books. It doesn't matter. But you have to find some literature that's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to make, when you listen to it, you're like, that's not real. That can't be possible. You have to become uncomfortable to become more than the version you are right now. You have to keep becoming uncomfortable. You have to apply for jobs you don't think you're smart enough for. You have to leave areas that you have to move from your neighborhood and move just to the county. Just give yourself a better zip code. Start small. But you have to become uncomfortable. And there's no other way to be successful. Every successful person you see, they are constantly being tested in their comfort zone. And so the first time that I became uncomfortable when I first spoke in public, I was scared. And I was like, what is this feeling? What is this feeling? Because I'm not scared because someone is about to attack me. Like, I know that feeling, you know, from growing up in the hood. But this is something different. This is me changing as a person. And to slow down and recognize that is what really, really got me on a path of continuing to do things that make me uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable all the time. Yesterday, I took a bachata class. I looked horrible. I mean, I was like, wait, what? Move those hips where and do what?
Yeah.
You know? And so uncomfortability is where you have to go. Knocking down the wall. The only way to truly, truly get over the wall, knock down the wall, think that there's more to life than what your eyes perceive, is simply to believe in something you can't see. And that's what every religion is. Every religion is faith. It doesn't matter if it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Muslim, Islamic, you know, it doesn't matter. It's faith. You have to have enough faith that something is on the other side of that wall. And there's no advice I could give you, Art, Connie, you know, nobody in this world, if you don't have faith that you can be more than what you are.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's a lot of times why people stay where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're there.
Stay where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you stay in this job or relationship or a house or whatever it is because you don't see that there's another place for you, another possibility. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that makes sense because you kind of always have to believe, like, well, there's something else out there. If I leave this job, there's going to be another job. If I leave this situation, this relationship, there's going to be another relationship or another situation, or I'll be in another place, but I won't be here. So Yeah, there's always constant change. And I also believe in what you were saying about being uncomfortable, because when you're uncomfortable, that is the moment when you're learning and you're evolving. Because you could stay in this comfort zone, and but then you're in that same place, right? It's that moment when you're uncomfortable. And I know that feeling a lot, because I'm like, what was I thinking? Oh, here I am. Okay, now I guess I just got to do it, right? Yes. I got in this job, or I got in this situation, or I volunteered for something, and I was like, oh, now I don't know what I'm doing, but I got to figure it out now. In this moment, yeah. I have to figure it out. Yeah. So yeah, that totally makes sense to me as well. It's like, okay, yeah, I get that. And I know, like, coming from, you know, where I'm at, it's like, oh, you know, you just never think, oh, well, I'm going to be there in 20 years. Or even when you think you want to be someplace, there's all these open, these doors that open along the way once you put yourself out there. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, okay, I didn't know that door was going to be, I didn't even know that door existed. Exactly. And now there's an opportunity for you when you didn't even know that was a thing.
But if you didn't start walking down that road, you wouldn't have ever came in contact with that door. Because, I mean, no. You may have started your journey wanting to be a singer or something, but someone said, oh, you'll be perfect for this acting role, you know? But you were walking in a direction of creativity, you know? So doors do open, and you don't even know fully what you're capable of being. I think most of us.
Yeah, until you're walking down the road, because then, yeah, new doors appear, like things, and that's where you just, sometimes you don't even have the vision for it, but once you start moving, then new doors open, or like your mind starts to open up
mm-hmm.
to the new possibilities, and you're like, oh, okay, and then you wouldn't have known until you like kind of go through whatever you're going through and you're on that journey.
Yes.
And that's the biggest thing here. There is a knowing, and then there's a not knowing, right? So mm-hmm. being in the place where you're in the knowing allows you to take action. It allows you to make moves. But when you're not in the knowing, there has to be that person that says exactly what you're saying, Sunny, exactly what you're saying, Connie, saying you have to not be afraid. Mm-hmm. You have to be brave enough to trust your gut. No, oh, well, pun intended. You have to trust yourself to actually jump in with 2 feet and let happen what's going to happen, because you're going with the energy of the spirit of the moment of who you are, and not mm-hmm. knowing that you're going to encounter the exact moment of your level up, right? So when yes. I think about you and your moment with your teachers, I'm like, that was necessary. Mm-hmm. That teacher needed to say, I need you to write. You're brilliant.
Yeah. See,
there's so many children, I've been around them, that mm-hmm. they're not going home to that. They're not going to school to that. They're not getting it from nowhere. They have yeah. to find it all in themselves. Yeah. There's not one person out there that's saying, hey, I see something in you. Let me tell you that you are capable. Let me tell you that you can do anything you put your mind to. Let me mm-hmm. tell you that you have a spark that is beautiful, and I want to see you flourish. Do you know how huge that is, that you, me, Connie, we got that from somebody along the way?
Yeah.
See, because we're going to move into your vision boards. We're going to yeah. move into your other things that you say that you have, that you've utilized along your journey. But you had to get tapped on the shoulder and said, you got something.
Do you want to know what's really screwed up? I wasn't ready to receive it.
Okay.
Now, I told you what the professor, what the teacher said. I never told you that I started writing, and I didn't even enter into the competition. I was afraid. So these are things that when I start blossoming, I thought back on what they said. Like, oh, yeah, I am great. When I started questioning myself, when I started getting out of the ordinary and starting to try to be extraordinary, I had those little moments that I was like, oh, he did say I was an amazing writer. But at the time he said it to me, I did nothing.
You didn't see it as angels at the time?
No. That's why I said now I have all these angels that I could look back on. Because we have this ability as humans to not be in the now. And so when things are happening right in the now, it's really hard to absorb it. Like, you can be really big and doing really great things, and other people can see you as like, oh, I remember her from such and such. Look at her now. you know, she live in California. She got a nice house. She got this, she got that. And they can put you on that pedestal, but you're living that life. So you're not actually tapping into, hey, I'm getting a little bigger. You know, I'm getting closer to my dreams. I'm really, and that's something that I preach a lot is get in the now, because God is not in the past. Do you really think the universe is back there? That's happened. It's gone. Like, the universe is not back there trying to fix those things that happened.
Yeah. There's no fixing it. I think that's so true. Yeah. We're involved. The angels are always there. Mm-hmm. The soulmate is always there. You just need to see it.
You need to see it. And so, Art, you said something that was amazing. And I was just sitting here thinking when you were saying about believe. I look at it one way with the universe, right? So we have these two eyes. I see you guys' eyes. So we have these eyes, right? Now, I can look at you. I can look over here at my bookshelf. I can look here and here and here. I cannot take these two eyes, which I am perceiving life through, and look around the corner, right? Right now. If there's something around the corner that I want, it could be $100,000 in a suitcase or something, right? There's no way that I can know that $100,000 is around the corner with these eyes. It is limited perception of what I can actually physically see, but I can believe it's around there. And guess who knows is around there? The universe is like the big eye that can see around the corner, but you got to tap into it in order for you to be on that energy to get around the corner without seeing it. It's like, once you tap into law of attraction and the universe and God, whatever form you want to call it, artificial intelligence, once you tap into it, it sees it all. And it sees it all in the now, not in the future, not behind you, right now.
Right now.
So if you can find some time to meditate and focus on the now, you can see what the big eye sees.
You there it is. Big
Aussie, right? Woo. And so when you said that about faith and belief, ooh, that just sent chills up my spine, because you have to have faith, because your eyes is not going to show you much, okay? It's not going to show you much. It's going to show you what you've built up to that moment. Everywhere we are right now, the house you live in, your career, your job, is what you have invested in yourself up until that moment. You're nowhere near done.
That's right.
You can't see around the corner, you know?
There is a whole thing to that. There's the skill of trusting that the universe is time and the way that the universe plays with the whole game of life, because we're going to get into the game of life. The universe has it all straight, and you can hurry it up. You can try and make stuff happen. You can try and cobble it all together. If the universe ain't got you there yet, you ain't gonna be there yet. And every single event and person and thing that you go through, all those doors y'all are talking about, each one of those things were necessary to get to that $100,000 that's around the corner that you couldn't see, but that you believe it's there. You still gonna have to go through these doors. You're still gonna have to encounter these moments. And what you gonna do about it when the universe is in control? You have to be one. You have to go with that flow. You have to be in the energy transferring into that next moment. It can't be created. It can't be destroyed. All it can do is transfer into another place and time. If you're in the moment, that's where the energy wants you to be. That's where the universe wants you to be. You've got to hold to that. And it's not tricks. It's not magic. Mm-hmm. It's about a belief in self. This thing here, we were talking about the gut, and we were trying to get names for it, and they kept talking about gastrointestinal issues, honey. We were like, not that gut. We're talking about the thing that we've known your whole life. The fire that pushes you through this damn thing.
The fire that pushes you through this damn thing. I love that. That's the gut that I'm talking about.
That's where we live. Believe, dare, achieve. The there part is what you're talking about. And we're about to go into this whole level of that life is the thing that we need to deal with. But I guess before that, Connie, did she not tell us on the discovery call that she's got vision boards that she's done.
Well, that she's gone through four.
Four, yeah, y'all. The
fourth vision board.
Four.
Which is cool.
Yes.
What the heck? Yes. How did you do that?
Okay, so here's one of the things about the universe and tapping in that I don't hear a lot of people speak about. And that is focus, right? So some people think you can just meditate or say, oh, I want this and I want that, and they don't have action behind it and they don't have focus. And those are two components that's necessary to manifest, right? The reason why is when you ask for something, it's given. You know why it's given?
Yeah.
It's given.
I totally agree with that.
Immediately, okay? If you say I want a house on the hill with a pool and this and that, it's given. The reason it's given is because we live in abundance. It's so much here. You just want a house? Like, you just want a little house on the hill? You don't think God, you don't think the universe could just give you a little house on the hill, right? But here's the thing. Are you focusing on what it would feel like to be in that house on the hill? Are you actually on the vibration of your neighbors that's on that house on the hill? Because if you're still thinking lackful and you're still beating up on yourself for spending $2 on a Snicker in Walmart, you're not ready for that house on the hill. So you have to focus. You have to focus. You have to change your mindset, and you have to focus. Catch yourself. Anytime I'm being cheap, and I'm very free with money. Any waiter who ever had me have been blessed. I'm so free with money because I know that it just circles and come back around. But anytime I find myself being cheap, or like I'm in a store and I say, oh, that's a little much for that. They tripping. They losing their mind. I check myself. It's not too much for that product because they had a dream. They built the product. They put their name on it. They got it in the stores. Woo. They providing it for you. That's the value of the product. There's no such thing as that cost too much. That's what they manifested. While you were home saying, oh, I wish I could have made a business or did this, they did it. They went and found a logo. They went and found some material. They went and found a shop in China to make it. They did the work and they manifested this product. And if they say it costs $210 for something you think is only worth $50, you're not in the right vibration. So I still have my human moments where I'd be like, oh, that's kind of expensive for that. And I check myself. Yeah. I have this thing I call the snap, right? I use it for negative thoughts, that because we're human, negative thoughts are going to come, right? I use it for negative thoughts, times that I'm not thinking abundant, you know, things like that. And I just, what am I manifesting?
I love it. Get back in line.
Use it. Use it all the time. It's something that triggers in your brain that can bring you back. So I just snap. What am I manifesting? Boom, I'm manifesting abundance. I'm great. I'm worthy. I am the money. Any dime that I've ever put in my bank account, I've earned it. So that means I'm the money. So if I think that I am $1 million, I'm the money. But it takes focus. It takes focus. Focus on what you want. Believe what you want. When you find yourself going into old habits of lack, check yourself. Give that waiter an extra $20. Know that God is going to provide that back for you. Like, you have to get out of lack in order to start seeing abundance. And my income changed like four times more than what it was when I was a worker in like 1 year. The year that I quit my job. And I was thinking, how am I going to make money? Who's going to pay me? You know, like, you can't quit a job because then there's no one going to pay you every 2 weeks. But the universe paid me and I paid others. You know?
Funny how that
like
works,
I have an assistant. I pay my assistant every week. I pay her. I pay him. I have a Spanish assistant. I pay him. I have a guy who translate my books. I pay him because he needs me, she needs me, they need me. And as long as I'm providing for them, the universe has to keep providing for me. It's like, it's a faith. It's a faith.
Yeah.
When I first got my first employee, I was like, who do I think I am to be thinking I can have enough money to actually commit to pay somebody every week? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know who I am. I'm abundant and I'll get the money and it'll keep coming. And I have never missed payroll, not once. Like, I've never been that bad off or that broke or anything. And so the work that she does for me is way bigger than any money I can ever give her, you know?
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's the mind. It's the mind. It starts there. It's going to end there. We came here with a special power that's already in us.
That's right.
But the reason,
yes, that's right.
The reason is so small, the voice is so calm and so quiet, is because it's allowing you to experience life so that you can know what you want and what you don't want, right? That's
the wanting, knowing what you want part is the most important part, because when you know what you want, you're not going to get distracted by the noise of other people or other things around you. When you know what you want, somebody can't talk you out of it. When you know what you want, so there's a specific kind of house that I want, Sunny. And I know exactly how it looks. I know where I want it to be. She always laughs at me, but I know it. I mean, I can be living all different other kinds of ways. But
I think it's like when you know what you want, it's not about the distractions and stuff. It's that you know what you want and you're going to get it. And you can focus on getting that, because I think it's already there. Like, I
was there.
It's already there.
Oh, it's there. The house is waiting for you.
And it's all already there.
I know.
It's not about we have to go through this journey in order to be deserving of it. It's already there.
You deserve it.
It's just peeling off the layers of thinking that we don't deserve it, or it's not there for me.
Because that's amazing. What it is. It's
peeling the layers off of that and getting to the point where it's like, oh, no, I want that. And it's already there. Because things happen. And I think, like, as soon as you realize it, people think, oh, change takes a long time, but change doesn't. Change takes an instant. Mm-hmm. It's an instant. It's a moment. It is like, oh, wait, I'm thinking that. I'm not thinking that anymore. And it could happen like that. And once you make that switch in your head, things change. And it just takes it's a moment. It's not like I got to go through all this stuff and all this pain to change or evolve. It's like, no, it's not. It doesn't. I don't think it works like that. It's like it changes as soon as you realize it.
Oh, I love that. That was like, you probably saw my mouth open. Because that was like, that's what it is, you know. And it's also battling with doubt, you know. Because doubt like to kick in, but doubt is just society's thoughts in your mind. All the thoughts that's in your mind, I really want people to know this. They're not yours. They're not all your thoughts. We're on an energy. And so we pick up other people's energy. We pick up stuff from social media. We pick up stuff from the TV. And you might have watched the episode of Law and Order that the man said something. All those thoughts are not your thoughts. And we sometimes adapt them and think doubt. Like, oh, I could never do that, you know, because you've heard that said so many times. Like, you've seen it on shows and you watch people that weren't successful or that had businesses that fail. And so you say, oh, they say everybody business fail in the first 5 years. You know, how many businesses don't fail in the first 5 years? I mean, everybody I talk to about business, I've heard that cliche sentence so many times. Oh, I won't quit my job and I won't go out there because every business failed in the first 5 years. And I'm like, do you not see Amazon? Do you not see Walmart that's been around? Like, do you not see these businesses that do not fail in the first 5 years? You know, that guy over there that fixed buttons on pants, he had that tailor shop for 28 years. Like, every business do not fail in the first 5 years, you know? And so that is mindset. You can believe that. Or you can say businesses are very successful and I'm going to have one of the most successful ones and that's what I'm going to focus on. But if you focus, you start that business and you focus on they fail in the first 5 years, that thought
you're gonna fail in 5 years.
So let's talk about your vision board thing then, because we're going to go into this, because the vision board thing seems like you guys are nailing it with the, it's there. It's not like you have to it's there for you. It's in abundance.
It's there but, for so you. But what, it's also not what, that you can, you also do need to take action.
This is what I'm saying. So the vision board, how does it work? Do you say, how do you put your vision board together? Your very first vision board, what did you put on it? And what was your motivation? And what happened when you actually put it together, because it's you focusing on something, right? Something that you want to manifest in your life. Is that what the vision board is about?
Yes, it's all about manifestation. And it's things that I typically want in a nice period of time. Like, I mean, I want it more faster than like when I'm 50, those type of things, right? Yeah. So my first vision board, I was still working a 9-to-5 and I started getting in tune with life, because I had this trail behind my house and I fell in love with this tree and I became one of those weird freaking people that hug trees. You know those people that
tree be huggers? Like that no. stuff?
And so I became one of them. And I went from like, from like smoking weed to hugging trees. Like smoking trees to hugging trees. Like
most tree huggers do smoke weed, just so we can all get that clear.
But see, I mean, let's not mess that up. But I went from one tree to the other, okay? I stopped smoking and I started hugging, all right? And so then I started saying, wait a minute, it's something more here. Like it's something growing these trees effortlessly. It's not taking a lot of work. So what if I could start incorporating that in my life? What if I could start wanting things and going into it with, it doesn't take a lot of work, right? Because that's the beginning of procrastination. If you think something is going to be a lot of work, you procrastinate, you mess around, your action becomes slower. But I start saying, these trees are growing, like the universe is growing this stuff with not a lot of effort. You know, sometimes it's raining, but it's not like there's some man on top of the tree, you know, watering it and like really giving all this effort. It just is. It belongs to me. It's already mine. I just have to become big enough to know it, right? And so I wrote down this stuff on a vision board. My first vision board was so elementary. I went and cut stuff out of a magazine. You know, I went and it was so elementary, right? And it was things that I wanted. And I wanted to travel more, so I put an airplane on there. The airplane symbolized I was going to be flying all over the country. And I happened to get a position in my job that gave me more time off. And every time I had more time off, I flew somewhere. So that just manifested without me even really thinking about it. But I just started going out of the country and here. I applied for a passport and I just started traveling. And I was like, wow. It didn't dawn on me till like almost the year was over that that had manifested. I had a certain amount of money that I wanted to see in my bank account. And on that first vision board, that money had manifested. And I left that money in that account for so long just because I knew it had manifested from the vision board. So I didn't invest it. I didn't do anything. I wanted to always see it. And at the time, it was just $10,000. And I had some kind of way save that, you know. I shopped less. I just did little things, but unconsciously. And the $10,000 was in the bank account. And then it was so many little quirky things that I put on the board, and they were coming too. But I focused on those things. And what I mean by that is, if I went and got a passport, if I didn't keep telling myself over, you have to be repetitive. I kept telling myself over and over and over again, I want to travel. I want to travel. I want to travel. On my lunch break, I was looking up hotels in St. Martin. I was like, oh, that looks fabulous. I would love to go there. So I never lost the desire. That happens a lot for people. They want something. They don't think they can obtain it, and they lose the desire. Therefore, right. They lose the focus. Therefore, they never start the action.
That's right.
So it's a cycle of not believing you can have it. So then you lose the desire, and then you lose the focus, and then you never start the action. So that's why I said focus and action go hand in hand with manifesting.
Yep. So your first vision board was really basic stuff, but you weren't noticing it until hindsight being 20/20 at moments. Like, oh, I got that. So let me do another board. Let me do another board. Let me do another.
See, let me if this do is another like, board.
Can I take and you to I the bank?
And then I had a board that I wanted to come to California. I had, and I live in California now. So I really put things on my board that was my true desires. There are some people who put vision boards and they put like $30 million and, you know, I want 10 acres of land. And is that really what you want right now? Like, do you know how many people it takes to take care of a house that big? Like, do you want people coming in cleaning your house or do you want privacy? Like, it's some people that think they want to be famous and it never happened for them, no matter how much they're in the studio, no matter how much money they're spending to make this dream come true, because they haven't checked with themselves in a long time to say, would I really like to be famous? Like, would I really want somebody following me everywhere? I can't just go to Walmart anymore. Like, would I really want that life of no privacy? So it started as a desire, but they never check back. And that's what I do. I check back. My first.
And you would say to put stuff on your vision board that you thought through already?
Yeah, I put stuff on my vision board that I had a strong desire for.
Strong desire, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I mean by it,
it wasn't going to go nowhere. It was going to keep popping in my heart, popping in my mind.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, the vision board before the last one, there was one thing that didn't align with me anymore. I had actually surpassed that manifestation. That was like too small for my energy now. It wasn't what I wanted to do.
Wow.
Oh, you know? Interesting. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you have to also check back in with yourself.
Oh, like, that's interesting. Can you explain that a little bit more, like how it didn't fit with you anymore? Like,
yeah, so what? I've done producing, I've done shows with like Cardi B, Meg Stallion, like I've done productions back in Maryland. And so I really, really thought I wanted to be a producer. I liked it a lot. And so on that vision board, my producing level had been going up. And so when I came to California, I wanted to do a documentary on homeless people was one of the things that I wanted to do. And it didn't align with me anymore. When I started, actually, I still want to be in the film industry. That's always going to be a passion of mine. But when I started interviewing the homeless people and coming into their world, it didn't align with me anymore. It didn't come from the same version of me that wanted to do this thing. Because I had started building connections with Netflix and I just had to produce them with something. And that felt like something that was easy for me to produce. Like, you know, I can produce a documentary, right? And because it was easy and because I had built the connections with Netflix, it didn't align with me. And so you can revise your desires and say, no, get back to the original plan. You wanted your books to be movies, get back to that. Like, don't just do a production of a documentary to get something done. Do what you really want to do. So that was the one thing on that vision board that I did not complete, but it was a change of desire for me.
Mm-hmm. Connie, what do you think about that? Because I know you make moves, big moves. I mean, you know, Connie's making movies. She's making, she's made a few. She's in the highest echelons of that game. And she's still got stuff that she's still getting. Still stuff that she's getting. It's incredible to watch. It really is. I mean, Connie, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of see that sometimes. I mean, I think a lot of things, like, I envision, sometimes it doesn't happen right away because there's other things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't always happen the way I think it's going to. I guess that's the thing. It doesn't always happen the way I think it's going to happen. Like, I put things out there like, oh, I want this to happen or I want this to happen or something. And It always happens, but sometimes it's not like then I like realize like, oh, I need to be more specific. I need to have more details in what I want. And so that's one thing, like, because then things always come and you're like, oh, all right,
I feel that because I went back and forth between specific and general throughout this journey of manifesting, right? And I've come to realize that I'm more on the general side now. And the only reason for that is it allows the universe to connect with me more. So if I say something in the sense of, I want to produce a movie on Hulu or something like that, the universe could say, oh, when you go out to that nice restaurant, Spike Lee will be there. Or this will happen, or that'll happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I've ran into so many people over the years. I've been in the company of so many people just by me putting things out there, right? But if I be really specific and I say, I want to make a movie and Oprah be the main character and this person and that person, I can get that too. I could get that too, but now that is requiring a lot more alignment of very specific energies to be able to connect. And that's nothing for the universe, by the way. I'm not saying that's complicated because that's what he do. You know, that's what it does. It puts entities of all types of people at the right place at the right time when they match each other. So if I'm not ready to work with Oprah, I'm not going to be in that room anyway because I don't match what they
have. Blow that up. Sunny.
Yeah.
I think
that's the thing. Like sometimes and I think that's the thing. It's like sometimes you have to be clear about your vision and what you want. Because if you're not, you get stuff, but then you're like, oh, it's not quite the right thing. It's not aligned. So it is really a thinking clearly about what it is that you want. And there are things like, and I agree with you, like if you're not lined up to work with that person, the energy isn't lined up, then it doesn't work, you know? So, but it is also part of like being clear about like what kind of production you want, right? Because it could just be any production, right?
Oh yeah,
but that's if you what want I,
that's the balance in it because yeah, you do want have to have clear level, intention. Yes, you have to have clear intention, but you can't be so specific that you'll be let down if one of those things don't line up. Because now you might have to wait 20 years for that movie because you wanted that one specific person, you know? And so, yeah, you have to be clear with your intention, but you have to be flexible and know that the universe is going to send you the perfect lead role for that movie. It may be a girl out of Compton who's been dreaming of acting her whole life, and that role is specific for her. So here she is. Let's play a game really quick. Let's put three of us on the board of life. Okay. So we're going to add a fourth person. So it's us three on the board of life. You're in the film industry, right? I've done some productions already. So let's say I say, okay, I want to work with Connie in the film industry. And let's just say, for example, Art is going to find the talent and he is the wardrobe director or anything, right? And so that's us three and we're working together. Now, it was my vision all along. I wanted Alicia Keys to play this role of this Black girl coming up in an urban area, right? And Alicia's not available. We have all the other components in place. She's not available. She's not interested in acting right now. And who knows when she wants to. She's working on a new album, right? She doesn't want to act. But in my mind, I want Alicia. If I am open to allowing the universe to do the magic it does, there's a Black teenage girl, let's say in Compton, that go to acting school in her neighborhood. And she is manifesting. All I want is my first chance. I go to all these auditions and nobody give me a chance. All I want is to be the star role of something. And then she comes to our audition. It's all puzzle pieces working together. I met Connie through this podcast and she happened to be in filming. I come to her with the film. Art is there with the wardrobe and picking the talent. And here's this girl who did not see any possibility of her actually making it, but she believed.
She over there and, manifesting too.
And the universe lined us
lines
all up together.
It lines everybody up.
It lines it all up together, but she's going to be on our energy.
That's right. That's what's going on in the real universe. I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you everything. It's one of those things where I can't tell you everything, but I'm going to tell you a brief story. The story is, and Connie was there for some of it. The story is that I found this very eclectic, eccentric person, and they found me. They found me through some universal connections. I never pay attention to anybody because I got too much shit going on. But this one person intrigued me, pulled my heart, and so I got with them. The day I was supposed to meet with them, that guy's father died. He said, no matter what, we're going to still take the meeting. I know my dad died at 1:30 a.m. today. I got a meeting with you at 3. He told me to get with you. I'm going to get with you. I don't know what the... And so I'm like, I'm flustered already right there. So I'm like, who doesn't... You cancel that meeting, right? This is what you do. We fast forward a year. I'm trying to figure out just how to get some work out of it because I'm still trying to get the work. But I'm like, are you okay? Your dad just died. What's going on? We're just hanging. I'm just staying in the moment because I don't know what else to do. This person is so eccentric, so different, so the energy is just almost like hypnotic where you just can't walk away. You can't, but you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to fast forward again. This person and I were into a certain level of getting business started and then the pandemic hit. Pandemic hit and I was just in the middle of building this whole structure with this person. The dad dying, we got over that. We've gotten over some other bridges. We're about to do it. Pandemic hits. This person ends up going into a tumble. They had an autoimmune disease that was triggered by stress and by these other things. It was something they caught a long time ago, but it got triggered. This person literally had to be in chemo every day, up at Cedars-Sinai with specialists and all this other stuff. This same person that said have the meeting at 3 p.m. on the day of his dad's funeral, he's in Cedars-Sinai, damn near dying, and he wants to talk to me every week about his dream because he sees it plain as day, even while he's hooked up to machines and everything. I'm like, once again, who are you? What are you talking about? You're at death's door. What are you talking to me about this stuff for? But I'm here for it because I got no place else I can go, Sonny. I can't go anywhere else. It's too riveting. It's too real. It makes me feel like I'm supposed to be here. We go every week and we talk. Every week we talk. Every week we talk. You know he starts talking about? Saudi Arabia. He wants to go there. It is the Mecca of where he wants to be. It is the Mecca of where he wants his vision to come to life. Okay, I'm like Saudi Arabia. Never been there, never done that, but that's something. Give me a chance to go and do some research. Go and do the. I'm doing this completely for him. He's the catalyst that makes me go say, Saudi Arabia, I got to go over there and see what he can do. I got to be ready to answer his questions. Let's fast forward again, Sonny. This guy's disease progressively gets worse, but he loves the work that I'm doing for him. I've done 5 weeks of consulting, getting all this Saudi Arabia information together. We got a check that we're about, not a check, we're about to get a routing number from Europe for our first payment. He's ready to go to get this whole thing started. His treatment gets on a Thursday. He gets discharged from the hospital.
Okay.
He gets a treatment from his doctor, a prescription. He takes that prescription. I don't know in what amount, but I can tell you what happened the very next day. I got an email that said he died. He is now dead. He is now dead, Sonny. So everything I have been working on, everything I thought I was getting it clear now, this is all ready because you was right in front of me. He's not in front of me anymore. I'm feeling like all of this stuff, like, what is this for? What is this for? I'm devastated because a lot of money was in that deal. When he died, to me, the deal died. Mm-hmm. It was a six-figure deal, but it was something that I was really proud of and that I was like, this is going to hold things down. I'm devastated because I'm looking at my whole pandemic summer all jacked up, and I'm still in the moment of just what was this all for? I'm coming into this year, and this is a fast-forward moment, but let me tell you what. I had one of the most pivotal moments, and I can't go into detail what this is, but there's a person very dear to me in my life that works at the very top of this entertainment system. And they are in a place where they need me to do some business for them. Guess where it is? Where's the business?
Don't tell me, is it Saudi Arabia?
I have a pamphlet full of everything I went through in that whole thing. I'm just getting this information as of this Sunday that is on and cracking. I got confirmation yesterday. So whatever that eccentric person is, probably looking up there smiling saying, you didn't see that coming, did you? I'm like, nope. That's why I stay in the moment. And you are very right, and Connie's very right. The moment matters.
Oh my God. I literally have chill bumps. Like,
the whole
story, I literally have chill bumps.
And guess what the money is from that six figure?
What is it?
Seven.
Do you need an assistant?
I will need something. But I'm going to say that simply because what I was thinking, I lost everything. Now what's going on right now with this person that's giving me the rights to do what I need to do with that person.
Oh,
that's what's on the table now, because that person's history is that major.
Cry, but like,
I'm sorry.
Tears.
I had to go in that like moment. This,
I was not expecting that story to go there. I love the way you told it, because you had me going along and I didn't know he was going to die. And then this just manifested into something bigger.
You can't make this shit up, Sonny. You cannot make this shit up. And Connie knows who I'm talking about.
You can't. I will tell you a really quick story. I'm going to fast forward too, really quick. So we came here. We didn't have a house. Okay.
Yeah.
I left my whole house and my belongings behind. Southwest give you two bags for free to fly. That's how we came over. Okay. With two children. We didn't have a place. We didn't have anything. I was looking for a place. It was so hard. It was so hard. It was so hard. It was so hard. I just kept looking. I was like, we're not going back home. We're here. This is it. Fast forward, I met a young lady who just fell out of the sky. You know, it was like, oh, I have a place for you. But prior to that, we were riding on the highway in San Diego, and we saw all of these people riding by with beds, okay? Beds. I'm from Baltimore, so I will say beds. But I want y'all to understand what I'm saying.
Yo.
So the truck in front of me actually dropped one of the beds, like dropped it off the truck. And I was like, the universe said go buy a bed. And my soulmate was like, we don't have a house. I was like, I keep seeing these beds everywhere. We're going to go buy a bed. So we went and picked out a bed. Right, we laid all on it, rolled around. Yeah, this is the one. And we paid for it. We just still did not have a house. This was 2 months. We lived in like an Airbnb hotel type thing, right?
Yeah.
So finally we met this young lady. She was like, oh, I think you'll love this condo. I think you'll love it. And we loved it, you know, in a nice community, good school system for the kids, everything worked out. And she actually, we were the last people that she placed before she got fired from her mortgage company.
Oh my God.
And so she only had been, she's like, I don't know why it was like, I had to help you guys. Like, and literally she was holding on to the job by a string. The universe had the job keep her long enough for us to get into the condo. And literally, soon as the deal was finalized, she got fired. Like, that day. Like, it was over. And so, I was like, oh my goodness. And so, we always think back on, look how that all lined up. Now, even though I didn't have a house when I came here, I made so much money the first 2 months in the hotel. I was in the hotel on a laptop, grinding. You know? I was building these connections and we didn't even have a house. And so the universe showed me those beds and it was like, have enough faith that you can go buy a bed before you even have a bedroom to put it in. The guy was asking, where are we going to deliver this? I said, I don't know. But if you find somewhere, you find a place to take it, we'll be happy. I said, I know they said when people come to California, they be homeless, but I wasn't really trying to not have nowhere to live, right?
I was just playing.
I was just playing. You know?
I didn't really mean that. I need a house, y'all.
That, We literally moved in that place like 3 days later. The day that we bought the bed is the same day we went to see the place. The same day we put down the deposit and did it all happened from like that day was like magnificent. And then everything lined up moving forward to let us know that this was home. Like nothing was hard, you know. Everything was easy from that point forward. Like, okay, this is home, you know. Nice. So that was my quick little universe story of it showing me a whole bunch of mattresses on the island.
I just gotta go buy a bed. And your soulmate's like, woman, what are you saying? We don't even got a house yet. But no, that's the same thing. Like, Connie tells me the stuff that like leads up to her getting all of the different things that she needed for even Jeffrey, the stories of how you meet people that can get you at the highest level of CG, highest level of VR, and the newest technology coalesce with you, right? Like, it was like that. Everybody just came into your path, right? Like, what is this? Yep. Did you know what it was at the time when you were going through it? Or were you just like, I guess I need this and it's going to come some kind of way?
Who, me? Like,
Oh,
yeah. As soon as I realize I need something, then it comes. Sometimes I don't know what I need, then it doesn't come. But as soon as I know I need something, it shows up.
That's my life with Connie, Sunny. Do you hear what she said with that confidence?
Connie, I love it. Like, it's an arrogance of knowing. Arrogance of knowing. Like, I know it. I walk around, my soulmate says all the time, just give it to her because she gets what she wants. Like, when I go to a hotel and I say, I want this floor, that floor, I want this, I want that. It does not matter. I call myself a pointer. I walk around life pointing. I be like, oh, I want that, or I want that. Oh, thank you. And then I say thank you right away to the universe before I even get it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So much, you're gonna spoil me when I get there.
That's awesome.
Oh, I love it, I love it. And then I get everything I want, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I got one.
No, we're not gonna even have to go into the life of the game. We're gonna have to have a part two with you, Sunny.
We gotta do part two.
We can chop it and do a part two. Maybe that's what we can do, because this I haven't had this much good energy with talking about what I love so much, because it's not that many people on this planet.
Exactly.
I call it we got our own little planet. Like,
yes.
We're the woke planet. Like, they're back there crying about COVID and stuff. I'm like, where are you guys? Because I'm not there.
Sometimes I look through them, man, and I just want to be like hugging, or I just want to be like, it's cool. Like, all this stuff is supposed to happen, and you got to just know that you're going to be all right. But they, so fear is debilitating. Not knowing is fear, and scary to people to say, how the hell you gonna go to California and not have a daggone house, honey? How you gonna go to California and not have a place to stay? What is wrong with you? And you got kids, and you just gonna get beds? You just gonna get beds with no place to put them, Sonny?
No place to put them.
What is that? That's people being scared. They're scared.
That's
well, me. Speaking of people being scared, this next story, I'm going to fast forward. I like your fast forward thing, because sometimes I drag stories, so I'm going to start fast forwarding.
We chop it up over here. We chop it up in the parts.
Boom. I'm in Hawaii, right? And me and my soulmate and my uncle and his old lady, they came down to celebrate my birthday last year, 35th birthday, right? So I'm in Hawaii. And my uncle was, his girlfriend per se, was talking a little lackful. And I kept having to bring her back, like, that's not what I do. That's not what we're doing. We're abundance. We're doing this. We're doing that. Like, spend my bag if you want. But just don't bring that energy, right?
Yeah.
And so I was talking, and I had a drink or two, you know? And so I was like, I get whatever I want. I was like, I get anything and everything and whatever I want. And they was like, whatever, whatever. And so I said, okay, well, we're about to go out. We're going out for dinner. And I said, I'm going to give you $200. I told that to my uncle. I'm going to give you $200 if whatever I ask for in this restaurant, I can't get. Right?
Okay.
And I said, I want a flower, a red flower. one of them, voluptuous. That's what I want. It's my birthday. I can get whatever I want. So we sit in this nice restaurant. There are, and you would think there would be some flowers around because it's Hawaii, but this particular restaurant had no flowers, right? So we're sitting there and everything I asked for, I'm getting. And so then the guy come and I said, well, I want a red, can I have a red flower? You know, I said that to the waiter and he's like, that's not on the menu. So he's like, yeah, that's not on the menu. He's like, but for you, it's your birthday. I'll see what I can do. He comes back. He's so sad. Oh, I'm so sorry. I know it's your birthday. We didn't have any flowers, not a red one or a pink one or a blue one or nothing. We have no flowers. And I was like, well, I really want a flower. And he was like, okay, I'll be back. So he talked to the owner. The owner of the restaurant came out and he was like, is there some type of problem? You know, can I give you a, can I send you some drinks over? You know, I see you guys are drinking bottles, a Moet or whatever. Can I send you some things over? And I was like, no, I don't want any free drinks or anything. I just want a red flower. And he was like, we don't have any flowers. And I was like, yeah, but that's what I really, really want. And so he left. He sent one of his cooks out of the back down some street somewhere and bought this flower back. And it was like a standing ovation in the restaurant. It was so weird because everybody had overheard this flower, right? Yeah. And so my uncle said from this day forward, I did this whole thing just to show him you can get what you want.
Yeah.
And he said from this day, I gave him the $200 and he said from this day forward, I'll believe I can get whatever I want.
Nice.
He said, because I'll believe I can get whatever I want. And it just changed his whole mindset just being with me with one day of me just asking the universe for things.
But you're coming with a certain energy that owner's feeling, because that owner's manifested some of their dreams as well. So your tenacity and your energy transfers to him. He knows what to do because this is going to be a hell of a Yelp moment. People in this restaurant are going to see this moment. I'm going to go, and because this person knows what they want, I'm going to get her what she wants.
Send now, he never knew he was playing along in a game. He didn't know why I wanted the flower. He's like, why is she being so difficult? And I didn't want to come off as, you know, like a bitch or difficult. Yeah. But it was a game. I said that I could get it, so I had to be persistent. You don't give up the first time you hear no.
That's right.
You gotta keep trying, you know?
That is don't give up the first time you hear no.
Yeah.
I hear no all the time.
No just means...
all the time.
Means not right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. But not that's not again. No. It's just no, not right now.
There's never really a no. Why? You know, well, not like here's now.
Can I do this then? Since we got you, because who knows what your next moment will be, Sunny? We're gonna do this. You said it's all a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a part two in our universe of possibilities, because you're not boring us and you're not taking anything away. But I'd like to know if you know that life is a game. Do you sometimes forget? It says when you play a game, be it a sport like golf or tennis, or a card game like poker, or a board game like Clue or Monopoly, you feel good when you win and bad when you lose. Why? Because you have arbitrarily accepted that something is better than something else. You try to get the little white ball in a hole hundreds of yards away and fewer tries than someone else. Is it really better to do that? No. There is nothing about the nature of reality that makes it better. It's better because we say so, and only because we say so. The same is true for any sport or any game. So do you think in the game of life, in your manifestation, it's there for you because you say it's there for you. It's true in your life because you say it's true for you in your life. Is that how it realizes itself in the game that you're playing?
Yes. And the thing that I get mad with myself the most is forgetting it's a fucking game. I beat up. It's my biggest downfall. If I can critique myself in the most powerful way, it would be that I forget. I get caught up in this false reality. I always say, what is reality? Reality is something that the mass majority of us agree on.
Yes.
That's it. Okay? That's it. This is a cup. Okay? This is a cup. Somebody named this a cup. A whole bunch of us agreed we can call that a cup. Is it really a cup? If a bird fly by right now, would it be like, oh, I wonder what's down there in the cup? Probably not.
Right? That's going to be a toilet to the bird and not a cup.
Maybe something to smell. I mean, it could be anything. It could be a flower pot to a bird. Like, who says it's a cup? So reality is just a bunch of things as a human race we agree on. Color, material, we've named these things, microphone. It's if you were coming here starting fresh as a baby, this isn't a microphone. It's not a microphone until someone tell you that, right? So that's all reality is. You don't have to live there. It makes it easier to communicate knowing that we all agree this is a microphone, but you can live on a whole nother reality that says nothing is nothing. Actually, anything is possible, you know? And that's yes. what people that create, the two brothers that created the airplane, he wasn't living in reality. You can't be great and live in reality.
Woo!
Because reality is going to always tell you, you can't have a heavy piece of metal in the air that's not going to fall back down and crash. Yep. That's not realistic. That's not what science tells us about metal and oxygen and energy. If you put a piece of metal that's going to carry 300 passengers in the air, boom, gravity says realistically it's going to fall back down. But not if you add some wings on it, baby. Not if you do this. Not if you do that. So you can't live in reality all the time. You got to jump in and out. And when I forget that game is a life that should be played and not stressed.
Yes. That
life should be played. It should not be stressed.
Yeah.
Honey, what you think about it?
Why are you worrying and you're going to die? You're going to die. I'm sorry, Art. You're going to die. I'm sorry if no one told you, baby, you're going to die. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
We think... we're not, just because we age well, Asians and Black people, don't mean we're not gonna die.
We're gonna die.
Because we age well, don't mean we're not gonna die.
So play the game right. Have fun with the game. Jump
Have
out
fun.
There with
I
the
like
game.
That. It should
Have
be
fun,
fun
with the game. Jump out there with the game. Now, my book that's about to come out, I'm actually about to go on a speaking tour. It's called The Come Up. Okay. So the last 6 months of this year, I'm touring in Texas, Arizona, Vegas, here, and then the East Coast states, New York, Maryland, the DMV area, all of that. So it's called the Come Up Tour, and I'm going to be doing motivational speaking, and it's putting out my first self-help book, which is called
Who the Fuck
Is. Yes, it's called Who the Fuck Is Society, right? Yeah, that's
congratulations.
The name of the book.
That's awesome.
Thank you. So really quick, just because you brought up the game of life, Who the Fuck Is Society offers such a different perspective of what we're doing here. So if y'all can just come with me with your imagination really quick. So my concept of what life is and what we're doing here. So here is up above. Down here is the board game. On this board game, there are some cars, some trees, some houses, some little people walking around like ants, you know? There's a couple buildings, but from up above. So you come here with a speck of energy, right? And the proposal is you can go to life, you can go to the board game and experience it. There's one rule. There's one truth that will never change. You will go into life with this energy. You will leave that body. You will die. The game will be over. You don't know when the game is going to be over. You don't get to know when the game is going to be over because you got to live it to your fullest potential. Okay? If I told you you were going to die at 15, you might stop giving a damn at 12.
Right.
You don't know. So here's the proposal. You get to come here and this is the rules to the game. There are none. You can do what the fuck you want, okay? You can come here, you can be what you want, you can do what you want. There's one stipulation, you'll die, okay? So you can go in it, but you're gonna die. Now, what we're gonna do for you is, so that you get the fairest part to play in the game, and this is in my book, Who the Fuck Is Society. What we're going to do for you is we're going to start you off is a little person, a baby. You won't know how to talk. You won't know how to walk. You won't know how to think what other people think. You'll just be in your own little reality as a baby. And you have to learn the game, okay? And the reason we're doing that for you is so that you can perceive life from your own perspective. That's the fairness I'm going to give you. I'm going to start you without knowing anything. Mm-hmm. And you learn the game. Now you learn the game. You learn how to talk. Your mom, a little bit of society stuff in your mind. Oh, that's hard. And this is this. And this is that. You got to break that stuff. Most of us are damaged from our childhood, believe it or not. It's not the adult things.
100%. We know
better than that. Yeah, we're trying to fix all the crap from childhood, right?
Yep.
So the thing that I offer my readers, that I offer the people that follow me on my motivational journey is, it's a game. Play it. Play it how you want. Don't walk down nobody else's path. Don't be a nurse because everybody in your family is a nurse. Play the game. Because the game is infinite possibilities. There is no limits to how far or how big you can go. Yes. But you have to play it. And there's only one thing can stop you. That's the end of the game. That's it. There's nothing that can stop you as long as you're breathing.
That's what's up.
And yeah. It's unfortunate because your guy, he was playing the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was playing.
Oh, yeah,
the
he
game.
Was playing big.
He was playing big. He was a big player in the game.
He was playing big.
But he died. And that's the only thing can stop it.
And yet I still feel that energy permeating and saying, mm-hmm. There you have it. It's still bigger than that person who was so big. It's going to go out into the universe because I'm giving it to you as the universe. Mm. It's going to just be recycled. It doesn't get destroyed. It doesn't get created. It just transfers on. And so I feel very weirded and goosebumpy on everything that everybody's saying with this stuff. When you remember is life is a game and you make the rules, it's not just some stupid cliche, that life is a game to be played and to have fun with. And the consequences are nothing. Because there are no rules. It's just you and your intention and what you want to have happen. And I tell you what, for everybody that's listening, because we're going to have Sunny back. This is for damn sure.
We
are going to have
Sunny
you back. But the one thing you can be doing is giving back to that same energy that gave to you. And it just reverberates. The one thing that you hear from everybody that's a multi-billionaire, billionaire, 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 they manifested what they wanted. They're the inventor. They're the creator. I'm going to name it. I'm going to name it Babel. I'm going to name it Rosetta Stone. I don't give a damn what it is. I'm making it. And now I want to give it back. The giving back part, I think, is part of the deal with the universe to keep the cycle going. So each and every one of us.
It can't use you. Well, ho. It can't use you if you don't give back.
That's right. That's all I'm saying. That's how we ended. And we got to give back everything that we've been given.
You have to, so it can keep going around and around and around. Because how is the universe going to use you as a player? We're all players in the game. If you're a selfish player and you're not giving, then I can't use you to help that person. And so then I can't bring people to help you. So you do have to give back.
Y'all don't even understand right now that we just had Sunny Connor in the house, but now you know. If you didn't know and didn't have an idea, now you understand what you're dealing with. What's your new tour coming up? What's your book, new book and your tour? What's coming up?
Oh, the book is called Who the Fuck is Society?
Yeah.
And the tour is the Come Up Tour. And so the tour is going to be talking about money, law of attraction. It's going to be talking about money, law of attraction, and coming from the bottom up. So that's why it's called the Come Up Tour.
Nice.
We're going to put down naturallysunny.com. Y'all can go get several of her books are for sale, and they're great reads. Go to naturallysunny.com. Click the link below. Thank you so much, Sunny, for spending time with us and enlightening us and making us laugh and making us think and making us believe even more in what's possible out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Connie,
Yes, and we'll definitely have you back after your tour. We'll post that in the links for our listeners, and we'll definitely have you back after your tour.
Oh, thank you both so much. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you. What, did we lose Art?
I'm Art.
This is Connie, and this is the Get Up Team podcast. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Sunny T. Connor, for being with us.